Hey, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Philippians, You know, for several months we went through the book of Acts, and one of the places we saw in the book of Acts was where the Apostle Paul was on his missionary journeys, and he stopped in the city of Philippi, and he founded a church there, and it was a church that he loved and he struggled with. Well, after we saw in the book of Acts, as he continued on his missionary journeys and eventually went to Rome, while he's in Rome, this is 10 years after the founding of the church, more or less, he writes a letter back to the church of Philippi to just kind of instruct them and to encourage them and to lift them up. And so I want to focus in on a particular passage. It's found in Philippians chapter 3, And I actually like this passage because it's got a lot of doctrine that you might not see or might not grasp when you first read it, but when you stop and study it and dig into it, it's got a lot of good doctrine in there, but it also has a lot of good practical application, especially in 2018, and I'm looking forward to just jumping into it. So let's jump on into Philippians chapter 3, verses 1, and we'll go through verse 11, but not initially. This is the word of the Lord. It's given to us by the Apostle Paul in his hand. It says, finally, my brethren, excuse me just one second. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And this is what he says. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. That means like mutilators of the flesh, by the way. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. We'll continue on with the rest of it in just a little bit, but I want to kind of focus in on this passage that the Apostle Paul says, to have no confidence in the flesh, and kind of talk about confidence and the measure of confidence that we have. I remember one time hearing a preacher say he was trying to deal with some of the archaic Hebrew words and exactly how to pronounce them. So we went to his seminary professor, and the seminary professor says, well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Just say it with confidence. Nobody is going to know the difference. And it seems to be kind of a common theme nowadays, you know, fake it until you make it. But the only problem with that fake it until you make it is that verse is not actually in the Bible. And when, you know, fake it until you make it, just be confident. As a matter of fact, I remember getting that advice when I was a young teenage boy and interested in getting the girls, because I remember people would say, you know, it doesn't really matter how fast your car is, and you don't have to be especially good looking, but if you walk up to a girl with confidence, you'll be surprised about how much better looking you are and how much better looking the confidence will make you. And that's kind of true, but there is a fine line, I think we all can agree, between confidence and creepy. So what I'm trying to figure out, what I'm trying to figure out as a parent, is how much confidence, because I want to raise children that are confident. I want to have young men and young ladies in our church who are confident in the Lord. But how much confidence do I really want my kids to have? Because you want them being confident when they're younger, but in their teenage years, when they actually have confidence, then they don't actually talk to you anymore, because what do you know? Anybody have that problem? I mean, in the early years, they're all, mom, dad, how do I handle this problem? And now when they're in their teenage years, you don't even get a phone call. So I want my kids to have enough confidence not to be socially awkward. But at the same time, I need you to drive with your hand in the 10 and the 2 o'clock position. Are you following me? I mean, I want my kids to have confidence, but at the same time, I don't... My four kids have all learned to drive different ways. Olivia and Julia were tentative, trepidatious, nervous. Joshua, first time he gets behind the wheel of the car, he's got the Diet Coke in the one hand, the One Hill on the other hand, as he's jamming out to two. I mean, I don't want that much confidence, but I do want to. Can we all agree there's kind of this fine line between confidence and overconfidence? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul says. I have no confidence in the flesh. I want to raise my kids so that they're not constantly questioning themselves, not constantly downtrodden, not constantly, you know, apologizing for existence on planet Earth. I don't want them down there, but nor do I want them like Conor McGregor. You understand what I'm saying? They're somewhere in the middle that I'm as parent is trying to navigate. And here's what's happening now, I see, in our society. I think it's why it's important. Our society puts a lot of value on confidence, but we have a lot of confidence without competence. And so this is what the Apostle Paul says, because the people back then, oh, they had a lot of confidence. And it's kind of interesting who he's talking about, because he says, beware. And when you first hear the words beware, you're thinking, uh-oh, he's going to warn us about some people. So he's probably talking about drug dealers or prostitutes or liberals, you know. Beware, you know, people that really challenge your Christian worldview. But that's not who the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's talking about religious people. He says, beware of the evil workers. Beware, and he calls them dogs. And so you sit there and you read this passage. Hey, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. And you say, beware of the dogs. Who are these dogs? And who let them out? So we... beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision. So he has all these warnings to us, and he's really talking about religious people, because the religious people at this time, they were trying to get the newly converted Gentiles who were not Jewish to be circumcised without anesthesia, because that was the outward sign of the covenant of the Jewish people before Christ came. But then Jesus came, and he changed all that. And Paul knows that it's not what you show on the outside, but it was what happened in your heart that proves the authenticity of your relationship and your fellowship with God. It's not something on the outside. The Apostle Paul knows this. He knows that it's what happened on the inside. So here's the doctrinal point. He's saying, beware of these dogs who are teaching that you have to be circumcised. Because I have, this is what the Apostle Paul says, no confidence in the flesh. I don't have any confidence in my own ability to please God. God is not any more pleased with my flesh for being able to avoid smoking, being able to avoid drinking, being able to avoid licentious behavior. I have no confidence in the flesh. Because God is not impressed with our flesh. He's not impressed with our ability to do good. He's not impressed with our ability to avoid. God did not wake up today and God did not go, hey, angels, John read a psalm today. Woohoo! Isn't this great? Hey, angels, John avoided snorting some cocaine today. God is not impressed with what our flesh does, because indeed in our flesh there is no good thing. That's what the scripture says. So the Apostle Paul says, I don't have any confidence in the flesh. And then he turns around immediately and says, beware of the dogs, these religious people who are telling you otherwise, that by your behavioral modification you can please God. It's not about your behavior that pleases God, my brothers and sisters. It's about what Christ did. So he says, these people that are teaching otherwise, beware of them. They're dogs. Beware of them. It is a perversion of the gospel to think that there are things that we can do outwardly or behaviors that we can quit that it's going to please God. Because when we start doing stuff and what the temptation is when we start to do this, and this is the danger and the poison, is when we start doing stuff and we think that these outward appearances and these outward things that we can do start to please God, what happens in the human mind is that we start creating categories. And the people that are on the in crowd, the people get to wear the members-only jacket, these are the people who are fitting into our category and doing the same categories that doing the same things in the category that you and I are doing them. And the danger is in some faith, when you have that, it produces a false confidence. And you start to trust in your birthright. And you start to develop a sick and twisted version of confidence in which there's no biblical context. And so what some people have done is they have actually put confidence into what they do and how they act and what they avoid. But confidence that is developed outside of what God says is real confidence, because he does have some things to say about confidence. We'll get it in just a second. Is false confidence. Any confidence that is placed outside of what God says it should be placed in produces false confidence. And false confidence produces categories. And categories produces things like discriminations and prejudices. It is so easy to dislike and to hate people who are not like us. It is so easy to hate and to dislike people who are engaged in a lifestyle that we don't agree with. But that's fleshly behavior. And Paul says, I put no confidence in the flesh because there's nothing about the flesh that's appealing to our Lord. It's about what Jesus did. And so, you know, I think about confidence right now a whole lot differently than when I was 16, because when I was 16 and I was baptized over at Bethany, I had a lot of confidence in my ability to stay away from certain behaviors and to engage in other behaviors. I had a lot of confidence in my ability at the age of 16 to be able to raise kids. I could easily go to the grocery store and look at the screaming brat in the stroller and say, you know, when I get to be a parent, that ain't going to happen. I had a lot of, and then I had kids, you know what I'm saying? And then I had to pick them up in a restaurant and take them outside because it was my child that was running everybody's dinner. It's easy to have a lot of false confidence when you don't have any competence in what you're doing. And so this is what the Pharisees were teaching at this time, because they were teaching, you know, if you will do this, if you will get circumcised, if you will tithe exactly 10%, if you will follow these laws, then you can have confidence in your relationship with God. And Paul knew that that was poison to people. And I, because false confidence produces a poison to the soul, it produces poison to congregation, it produces categories that will destroy churches. And here's the thing about false confidence too. And confidence in our fleshly behavior. Because really, and there's some psychological writings on this, is that what you know about me is not really truly authentically me. What you know about me is the projected version of me. That there's really me who, with all my doubts and insecurities that I don't share with you, but there's the me that I project. And I don't mind sharing this with you because every one of you does the same thing. And what Christianity tells us to do, and what Jesus is trying to model us to do, is just to be our authentic self. Because if you fall in love with the projected version of John, then you really don't love me. And then I'm too scared to share with you my doubts, my fears, my faults, and my failures. And you're in love with some mythical John over here. Jesus calls us to be ourselves and to let that down. And here's the thing about our projected selves over here, if you don't mind me getting a little too psychological babble on you. Our projected selves causes other people not to be authentic too. I want to encourage our young people not to be discouraged by Instagrams that look like they were Instagram pictures and cute sayings that look like they were done off the cuff. Because what you're seeing on Instagram that is, quote, off the cuff, that was actually 52 pictures that they took and 2 hours worth of writing and rewriting so that they could post it right up there, making it look like it was off the cuff. It actually took hours of stress, anxiety, and rewriting, but it looks off the cuff, and that's what you see. You see a projected version, and then you start to question yourself, and you start to doubt yourself. That's how good human confidence will treat you. So let me give you... confidence, and we'll get back to scripture in just a second, but just talking about false confidence and projected selves and things like that. Most every family in this congregation has their kids involved in some sort of sports, right? Like, you know, Upward or I-9 or something like that. Well, when my children were younger and they were engaged in soccer at the Duluth First Baptist Church, it was called, I think it was Upward. And I was, they had these little cheers on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying? Sideline cheers at Christian sports, and it's all good, it's all good. Because we want to build up their self-esteem. But, I mean, it'd be silly little cheers like, you know, my name is Cece, and you know what I got? And then the team would say, what do you got? And she'd say, I got a team that is hotter than hot. Never mind that the Ladybugs are 0-12. Your team is not hot. But, man, you get to feel good about yourself because you got this little cheer. We got all kinds of false confidence out there, and we kind of encourage it through our cheers, through our chants. It's a societal pressure that we all have, and the Apostle Paul has a word for it. Beware. I have no confidence in my flesh. Even though I-9 Sports, Upward, whatever program, we get trophies now for the least little bit of things because we're all about building up our children's self-esteem. Oh, they can't make C's. They got to get B's. And the Apostle Paul says there's a real danger in this. Because as a society, we're teaching people to have confidence in the wrong thing. And he's using it specifically in the context of religion. Of a religion that says you can do something that makes you more acceptable to God. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there's nothing about you that was acceptable to God. You can't do it on your own. That's why you needed Jesus Christ. Praise God that he had a plan before the foundation of the world that he was going to save an innumerable host of people that the Bible says outnumbers the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, a number so vast that no man can number it. Thank the Lord that the Lord made the decisions who's going to go to heaven and not that we had to pass some litmus test. Thank God that he was in control because it's not only going to be primitive Baptists in heaven, we will have Roman Catholics, we will have Baptists, we will have Methodists, we will have Jewish brothers and sisters and Muslims in heaven, we will have straight and gay in heaven because it was what Jesus did for his people, not what they did for themselves. And the Apostle Paul says, beware. Beware of a false religion that says you can do anything because me, Paul, I have no confidence in my flesh. Oh, yeah, I was an apostle, and I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, but I, the apostle, I have zero confidence in my ability to do what is pleasing to God. This is what Paul said when he was writing in the Church of Rome in chapter 7. The good that I would do, I don't do. And the evil that I would avoid, I find myself doing all the time. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death? That's the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he says, I myself, I can't stop doing the bad things that I want to do. Help me. So that's why the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. He's saying, watch out, man. Watch out. Beware of the people that are here. I'm going to call them dogs. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concision. And here's the thing about the Bible, because the Bible, now we've talked about false confidence, but the Bible actually has a lot to say about confidence. There's three other areas in the Bible where we talk about confidence. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the word of the Lord says, hey man, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, be confident in this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you. So I can be confident in God, and what God has started, God's going to finish. Okay, there is a confidence, and that confidence says, I can be confident in God. There's another passage, it's not translated in the King James as confident, but it's the same root Greek word. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, and the context is verse 4 and 5. And this is what Paul says. And such trust, or confidence, have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Okay, let's look at that passage. So I can have trust, I can have confidence, that through Christ, so my confidence is going to be through Christ, to Godward, not that I'm sufficient to think anything of myself, But my sufficiency is of God. Okay, so that's the second time that the Bible's talked about confidence. It's the second time that the Bible says our confidence needs to be founded in Him and in Christ. And the other area is a familiar passage of Scripture. It's translated the word boldness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, Therefore, brethren, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So once again, when talking about confidence, the Bible says our confidence is based on what Jesus Christ has accomplished. We have boldness to enter into the temple by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not my blood, it's His blood, His perfect blood. So every time we read about confidence in the Bible, we're not talking about the human condition, but rather about the foundation of confidence. And so we got to be very careful about talking about confidence in the Christian context, because if we're not careful with talking about that, we can put confidence in our false confidence. I got a team that is hotter than hot. If we're not careful, we can put confidence in our circumstance. Oh, I got a job that's making six digits. If we're not careful, we can put confidence in our competence. But note that none of the scriptures that we read concerning the subject of confidence actually contain the word self in them. So, the confidence is born, and if you kind of break it down, it's born into consistency, it's born into competence, because you know what you're talking about, you can feel very confident about it. It's born of things like that. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying here is, you know what we can have confidence in? We can have confidence in Christ's consistency. He was the one that was consistent, and He was the one that did what needed to be done. And Paul says, I have no confidence in the flesh. He's saying all these people are telling you that you need to be circumcised, and that's how you prove you have a relationship with God. All these people are wrong. And this temptation that we have is to fake it until we, in all honesty, it's fake it until we break. Because if you fake it, you're never going to make it. You will never make it. And because no matter how much you work to develop your confidence in your flesh, Paul says it will always fail you. I mean, how many of y'all have ever misplaced your car keys or misplaced your cell phone or worse yet, misplaced your wedding ring, right? Because you put it in the wrong, right? Yeah. put it in the wrong location. You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, just like I've misplaced my cell phone, misplaced my car keys, misplaced my wedding ring, I got to be honest with you, there's many times in my life when I've misplaced my confidence. Because I put my confidence in my own discipline. I put my confidence in my own ability to stay righteous. I put my confidence in my ability to avoid bacon and gluten. I have put my confidence and misplaced my confidence in the wrong things. I've heard people that have left churches because they had got offended at people. Can I be honest with you for a second? People will always let you down. Don't put your confidence in people because they have a limited capacity. People will always let you down. But God never does. God never will. Why would you put something so valuable as your faith into people? Put it in God. And so when people let you down, you can forgive them a whole lot easier because they will let you down. Everybody. We have limited capacity as people. That's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul says, hey man, I have no confidence in the flesh. But then Paul does something else, and this we'll start looking at the rest of the chapter. Paul says, hey, for all you people that have confidence in your flesh, I'll play that game with you. Let's play. Let's play. This is what the Apostle Paul says. So let's play the game with the Apostle Paul. If you're with me, but go back to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll pick up reading. We left off with verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He says, this is what he's saying. My circumcision is better than your circumcision. Check it out, dude. He says, circumcised of the eighth day. What do you mean my circumcision is better than your circumcision? Well, Paul's saying, when you think about it, I got circumcised exactly when I was supposed to be circumcised, because everybody knows the Israelite babies were supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day, but that didn't happen all the time. Some of you people got circumcised on the ninth or the tenth or the twelfth. And some of you proselytes who came to the faith later in life, well, you got circumcised when you were 26 or 32. Me, I was circumcised when I was supposed to be circumcised. My circumcision is better than your circumcision. Then this is what he said. That's what the Bible says. Then this is what he says. Circumcised of the eighth day of the stock of Israel. So what he's saying is not only did I do it at the right time, I got the right connections. Because everybody knows that Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament. So I'm part of God's favorite people. Then he says, of the tribe of Benjamin. So not only was I circumcised at the right time, and I'm part of his favorite people, I'm part of the favorite tribe of the favorite people, because the tribe of Benjamin is the line where all the kings came from. So yeah, that's me. Then he says, and a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying there is, man, I got connections, and I'm competent. And not only am I a tribe of the Benjamin, not only is it a matter of birth, but I'm super Jew. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And so, wow, you know, I was connected, I was competent in regard to the law, a Pharisee. And that was the strictest order of the religious lot to the Jewish people. So Paul says, not only was I a Pharisee, he keeps on going. Concerning zeal and persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he lists off some other things. He says, blameless. So Paul doesn't actually say this in Philippians chapter 3, but he does make reference to it in another passage. We talked about where he studied under the feet of Gamaliel, who was like, you read about him in Acts chapter 5, and then again, and I think it's Acts 22 or 23, Gamaliel, who was the leading scholar, he was like the Harvard and the Yale and Oxford all rolled up into one. And Paul studied underneath him. And so the Apostle Paul says, not only was I a Hebrew of the Hebrews, but man, I got a scholarship and I aced being Jewish. Of the law, nobody knew it better than me. So yeah, if you want to play this game, I'll play this game with you. I got a better circumcision. I'm the favorite tribe of the favorite people. I'm a super Jew, and I got the best academic credentials. So you want to talk about competence? I can talk about competence with you. And then he goes on to say, and you not only is that my stock, but I want you to look at what I've done. Zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness. Not one of you can hold a candle to me because I am faultless. So this is how high Paul climbed. Paul climbed. He was connected. Paul was competent. Paul was faultless. Paul was confident. He was confident in his religiousness and his religiosity. But then something happened. And what we read about in Acts chapter 9 is it was on the road to Damascus carrying out the Council of Jerusalem's order to go persecute Christians. And then all of a sudden, he got knocked off his horse, and he got blinded by a light. And I'm telling you, sometimes God will allow a crisis in your life to refocus your confidence. Paul was riding down the road with his false confidence. And it is so easy to be confident when you've never had to live through a crisis. It is so easy to preach against depression until your father dies. And then you have to live it. It is so easy to be confident and arrogant until you actually go through a real crisis. But there's going to be an event. A heartbreak, a weakness, a complete rearranging of all the nice things that's once had nice little categories in your life. So please stop being so quick to categorize people on what we see with our eyes or what they are doing with certain behaviors in their life. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, judge nothing before the appointed time, because you have no idea the battle that they are fighting and the struggles that they are going through, or what it takes for them just to keep getting up in the morning. And so what the Apostle Paul did, the Apostle Paul says, you know, I've got the abilities, I've got the credentials, but I lost my confidence. I gave it up. But what things were gained to me, all those things I listed about, my birthright, my abilities, my on spot on time circumcision, all these things that were gained to me, those things I count lost for Christ. Because God caused Paul to lose his confidence. And one of the ways, and one of the reasons that God allowed Paul to get chewed up in a pile on the Damascus Road, if he knew that if he allowed Paul to continue, that Paul would never be able to fulfill the calling that was in his life. And Paul spent 3 days being blind, being led about by a hand by somebody. Paul, who was a leader among his people, had to be led at that moment. And sometimes some of us, when we go through a crisis in our life, we're used to leading, and we don't like being led, but sometimes you need to be led. And when you're used to leading other people, but somebody has to lead you, it's kind of humbling. When you're used to smiling just to get through it, but you can't do that anymore. And every once in a while, something comes along in your life, and you have to say, you know, I didn't take a class on this. I didn't read a book about that. Nobody told me that it would feel like this. I'm not prepared like for this. I don't know what this is going to be like. And Paul says, I've lost my confidence in confidence. I had to start all over. I had to reevaluate everything because I've been comparing myself to other people. And false confidence is born of false comparisons. And the problem is, you know, this happens to other people probably a little more than we do. But it might happen to some of us. We start comparing to other people. We start having these lists. Well, these are the people that are going to heaven because they do X, Y, and Z. And these are the people that are going to hell because they do X, this stuff right over here. And these are the people that are going to heaven because they don't do A, B, and C. And these are the people that are going to hell because they do A, B, and C. And Paul says, when you're focusing on behaviors, when you're focusing on the outside, when you're focusing on the external, man, you're focusing on the wrong thing. I have no confidence in the flesh, because it's not the flesh that pleased God. Amen. It was Jesus. And it was Jesus' perfection that pleased God. And when the Lord looks down at us, even when we're doing the things we shouldn't be doing, He's seeing us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He can love us no more today than He does. He can love us no less than He does today. There is nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of God. That's the Bible. Neither height, nor depth, nor principality, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things that are. There's no angels. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And so what Paul was doing was he's going through his life comparing himself to everybody else, and he's saying, man, I was wrong. And all that stuff that I had, all those credentials that I have, I count it but loss. You know how sometimes, I mean, you finally master the set of rules, and then all of a sudden life changes and everything, all those rules that you mastered, they don't do you any good anymore. You follow me on this one? I got to make it a little more real to you. You remember how when your kids were younger, you were telling them, shh, and finally you got to that stage when they're 7, 8, or 9, and you could go, shh, and they'd be quiet. Y'all following me? Nobody? All your kids were automatically all holy, and they're all quiet the whole time. You never had to shush them. Well, then life changed. Puberty came. And now the kids that I said, shh, to, I can't get to talk to me. Well, life will throw you a curveball. Apostle Paul, he's on the road to Damascus. He had mastered all the rules, and then life threw him a curveball, and everything changed. And he says, you know what? All those rules that I mastered, it's okay. I count all that stuff but loss for the excellency of being able to know Jesus Christ. I count them loss for Christ. And he says, I don't mind losing that confidence when I get real confidence. I don't mind losing false confidence. Because the irony is that while I was trying to project confidence, my projected self, while I was trying to project confidence, the whole time God was trying to impart confidence. But the confidence that God was trying to impart was not in my ability. The confidence that God was trying to impart was in Christ. That right now, John Melvin is sufficient in Christ. And that even though this very morning, when I'm in the drive-thru, and the little lady didn't put the lid on the coffee, and she spilled it on me, and I got scalded, not like McDonald's $4 million scalded, unfortunately, but I got scalded, and I thought something, even now, I'm sufficient. And that thought that came into my head, it doesn't take me outside of the love of Christ. I'm good. I'm good. But I'm good in Christ. You're good. You're good. But you're good in Christ. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. But you're beautiful in Christ. Everything is about Christ. From the very beginning. So Paul says, you know, I'm glad I lost all that. I'm glad I lost it. I'm glad I got knocked off my horse. I'm glad that I got my heart broken. I'm glad that I got my plans disrupted. I'm glad that it turned out that the world wasn't flat and it didn't revolve around me. I'm glad that I didn't know what to do, because if I had kept trusting in my flesh, I would have been measuring myself against an irrelevant standard. And something wonderful happened to me when I lost my confidence. I gained Christ. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, who do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The Apostle Paul is not saying, I gained Christ, as in, I didn't have him, and now I have him. What he's saying is, I had him, and now I have more of him. Brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God, born again of the Spirit because of what God's done for you, not because of anything you've done, because you can't do anything, you are spiritually dead. Dead people can't hear, dead people can't accept, dead people can't come forward to be baptized. But when God puts His Spirit in you, one of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. And if God has put His Spirit in you, you have faith. Are you operating on it? Because when you operate the gift of faith that God has imparted into your soul, you get even more, and it grows, and it strengthens, and you gain, not you got, but you gain Christ. And the more you follow Him, and the more you get true north, the more that pull comes forward, and you can gain Christ. And today, you might take two steps forward, tomorrow you might take one step back. Just turn again. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Just turn again. And all these things I used to have, he's saying, you know, when I'm following the way I need to follow and going the way that I need to go, all this other stuff, I have a clear vision of it, and it's just dung. There's nothing that can be compared to a child of God seeking and finding and realizing the excellency of Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. And that's the great struggle as a follower of Christ, right? Just to really get to that mindset. Some of us are more along the lines than others. Some of us, we're still struggling. Some of us are still having issues with a fast food drive-thru, you know. But if we can just keep getting up every day and say, John, don't put any confidence in the flesh. It's all about Christ. We'll be on our way. You know, right now, there's people going through some struggles. I just really want to encourage you, as you go through those struggles, don't put confident in your ability to handle it. Just know that today, tomorrow, and no matter, this journey is not about you. It's about you getting to know Jesus Christ more fully. Put your confidence in Him.